Good afternoon, and welcome to another wonderful episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Plannerverse. I am your host today. I've kicked Steve Morton off the team. He's no longer part of the team. My name is Karina Tovmasyan, and with me, I have replaced Steve Morton with the illustrious Corey Large. Welcome, Corey.
Hi, Corrine.
How are you doing?
I'm excited to be on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Plannerverse. I've been listening since episode one.
This is an exciting episode. I dare say that I know you and I had a few technical glitches, but I think we've managed to work through them. Corey is one of those people that sort of is, I would venture to call her a dark horse if I'm not insulting her. Hopefully she doesn't think I'm insulting her. But she sort of lurks around the pages and the groups, and she sort of pipes in every so often. And then all of a sudden she writes in and she goes, oh, by the way, I have made my own custom-made planner, and I thought maybe other people would like to know about that. And I just went, what? Yeah. So Corey is here, and we're calling this episode 76 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Plannerverse is going to forever be known as the Frank and Flex episode.
Yeah.
Welcome, Frank and Flex. Welcome, Corey Large. Frank and Flex, she's holding him up. You've never seen anything like this. Corey, do you have any pictures of him that you can send me
later?
And then I can have Steve post them.
Yes, I will send you pictures. Let me make a note of that so I don't forget.
It really looks like, imagine going into Target, into the dollar section, and taking every notebook that you see and tearing all the covers off and slapping it together with some rings and then sort of making it fat and putting all the juicy bits together and sort of like a Filofax and Target shop had a baby, and this is what came out, right? It's just this conglomeration of tidbits. I mean, where did you come up with this idea? Why did you decide to make your own planner? Let's start with that.
Okay, I decided to make my own planner more of out of frustration, really, with what was out there. I've been in the planner community essentially for the last 3 years. I've tried almost every conceivable planner setup, binder, contraption there is on the market. It would be shorter to list the stuff I didn't try, to give you an idea. And May 2017, yes. I just was so fed up. I needed something that was flexible, but I still needed the mobility and the freedom to move pages around. I had been a flex binder lover for years. It was always one of my main school supplies. And I just wanted something smaller than a regular size three-ring binder to carry around and be my planner. So I'd actually dreamed up this idea like 2 years previous, so it takes me a while to learn my lesson. You know, 2 years later, I actually I actually put this thing together, and I had bought a five-subject flex binder. It's got these big 2-inch rings on it, and I just measured out like 6 inches across, 9 inches down, and cut it up, and voila, I had my A5. It's roughly about the size of an A5. It's a half sheet size planner, and it's exactly what I needed, and it's the best thing
ever. How many rings does it have?
It has 2 rings. Because it was made out of a standard 3-ring binder, two rings are actually the top and middle rings of your standard 3-ring binder, which means I don't have to buy any expensive storage binders. I can just use a cheap 3-ring binder to archive stuff in if I want to archive.
I can just hear the citizens of the Plannerverse out there losing their minds over this. Yes, she's holding it up. And it really, it's a hatchet job. It's fantastic.
Is.
I love this thing.
And I love it too.
It looks like one of the beef eaters in London just got mad and decided to come down hard on this planner. And boy, that's a clean cut. What did you use to cut your planner?
I have a pair of Fiskars shears. So be very careful, children, if you go and make your own. Like, I'm terrified of these things. To cut the actual cover isn't too bad. You can use regular scissors. But if you've ever looked at a flex binder, and Corrine, I'll hold this up for you. It's got this huge, thick, plastic thing that holds the ring mechanism in. And that's what I use the Fisker shears to cut through.
Yeah, they look like they're riveted in or something.
Yeah, they are. It is riveted in, and it equals the plastic's about a quarter inch thick.
Right, so it's heavy duty plastic plus rivets. So you're dealing now. How did you do? You still have frayed edges on the plastic, or is that something you smoothed out?
The cuts on the plastic were pretty smooth. I mean, there's a little bit of fraying also with the flex binders along the spine. It's got this fabric. And there is a little bit of fraying on the fabric, but that's about it. But the plastic's held.
But this
up.
Looks like it could expand to so much more than what you have filled in it right now.
It depends on how thick you want it. I recently put my planner on a diet, and I took some stuff out that I didn't really need to carry around with me because it was getting to be very much a chunky monkey. And this is thin compared to what it used to be. And internet.
See, I'm kind of eyeballing it, and it looks like it sort of would fit in about a 30 millimeter rings. Mm-hmm. Would you say?
I don't know how.
Or even 25.
I don't know. I don't speak metric.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, just think of regular planner ring size that they come. It would be maybe a little bit larger. Perhaps
it would stuff what I have in there right now. If I were to get down my I have a Daytimer Malibu classic size Daytimer classic size Malibu, and it would be stuffed with the amount of stuff I have in this so
okay, that's a good comparison then. So on behalf of everyone out there in the Plannerverse, can you tell us what you carry in it?
Yes.
What is inside this baby?
Okay. Well, my first section is I've got like a laminated type of sheet where I just stick post-its. Corrine, I kind of stole your 5 post-its a day thing. Where
is that like a dashboard?
Yeah,
that's fine. That's why I put them out there. Oh, it's like a dashboard. Okay, yeah.
Where I just stick post-its on it, and like you said, if you use more than 5 post-its a day, something else is going on. I think you said that one of the episodes.
I vaguely remember saying something like that.
And then the next section, that's where I keep my shopping lists, like quick jots. Hey, we need to go get this at Walmart, need to get this at Publix. And then I get to my planning section, which has my my monthly calendars. I keep 3 months worth of monthlies, so current month and then 2 months in the future, and then the current month's weeklies. And the weeklies I use are the planner inserts I use are the Franklin Covey Seasons Week on Two Pages, and they're a vertical week on two pages, not the horizontal.
And that's classic size
classic
in Franklin
size.
Covey?
Yes. And they're beautiful.
She's fawning over them. She's pretending to talk to me, but she's really just fawning over her planner on the other side. Do you have an address book in there? Just curiosity.
Not an address book. I do have a password log, and all systems administrators and security personnel are screaming right now. But it's all in code for the few websites where I cannot remember the password for it. It's my shorthand for whatever my username is and whatever my password is. And if you can figure that out, good on you, then you deserve to get in there.
And as far as a wallet, do you use your planner as a wallet?
Oh, no. This thing's not secure enough to be a wallet. It doesn't have any type of closure. It just flops closed.
Okay.
And then after the calendar sections, my to-do list section, which is modeled after the bullet journal collections idea, because I've categorized to-do lists, all that fun stuff. And then I have a section, I have a knitting podcast as well as a YouTube channel, and I have a section where I keep notes for that podcast. And then I'm also a writer, so I have a section for writing and some of the pieces I'm working on.
A5 really lends itself to taking notes and writing, doesn't it? More so, certainly, than personal size does.
I always felt cramped in personal size. Just couldn't get with it. And then the final section in here, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
And then my final section is my coupon binder. I have some coupon sheets that
Oh,
I've
okay.
cut down. And like I said, the rings are the top and middle rings of a standard three-ring binder. So if you go get those baseball collector sheets and you just cut them down,
Right.
I've got four little pockets I can put coupons in and keep my coupons with my shopping list, right?
That's outstanding. So just curious, have you weighed this thing?
Yes, at last weight, it was just over a pound.
And so that's no mean feat carrying that around with you.
I use a backpack purse. That makes it a lot easier.
And so walk me through this. I'm here, there I am at the office supply store, and I walk in, I take my step, my obligatory step to the right, because that's how stores are designed to make you go towards the right. And then once I've stepped in, I'm looking for the three-ring binder section to create something like you have.
Yes, at Staples, just find where they keep the flex binders. They'll be with all the other notebooks and binders, at least at my Staples. That's where they are. Walmart, at least in my area, doesn't carry them very often, only around back to school time.
Okay.
So, I.
And so I remember speaking to Corey about this topic before we got to the podcast, and I remember she mentioned to me how much it had cost her to put this whole thing together, and I was absolutely amazed. Corey, what did it cost you to put it
If
together?
we leave
Stand by, everyone, for a whopping number.
out how much my planner inserts cost, because let's just not
Right,
include,
inserts are
but
inserts,
just
right.
to make this binder was less than $20, including sales tax.
And it is exactly what you need
Yes.
and want.
Yes. I have the freedom to move stuff around, add, subtract, all that fun stuff, as well as the flexibility of a spiral notebook. I remember when Mead Flex binders first came on the market, actually when I was in middle school, to date myself for some people. And I remember seeing the commercials for that product and going, that is the most brilliant thing on the planet. To this day, I think
Well,
that.
because it's true, right? When we look at our planners, there's not a single planner out there that we can fold back, much like a spiral notebook, slap against our knees, and keep writing the way that we would with the same intensity and ferocity and lack of fear that we would have were we to write in a notebook that was spiralized. And so this is what you're telling us, is that you actually flip this thing on its own spine and slap it against your knee, and yes, she's just showing me the way it does. And so that's outstanding, because I think everybody tries to get into this. I guess the conversation I've heard since we've started this podcast has been, well, I'm on the go a lot, right? I don't know what on the go means, but I'm on the go a lot. And so I don't know if people are trying to pump gas into their own car and take notes at the same time. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I do understand the concept of wanting to write something down in a most inconvenient moment where the elements and the planets haven't aligned themselves to what you need to get it done. And so I think this is sort of edging all of those elements together so that at least your handwriting can be stable, and you can not have to think about balancing something else amongst your thoughts.
Yeah, my setup gives me the freedom of the page size for an A5. It's, my paper, it's not completely equivalent to A5, but that's just the easiest in planner terms. But the footprint, but with a smaller footprint, because anybody that has used an A5 size planner, or even a personal size, or let's go some of the smaller sizes, A6, B6, if you can't bend that sucker back, that's quite a big footprint. And I'm right-handed, so writing against the rings is annoying. I can only imagine for somebody that's left-handed, it's also annoying.
Right.
And being able to bend it like Beckham, it just makes it a lot easier to write both on both sides for me.
Right, and without fear of having damaged this less than $20 binder that you can replace at a moment's notice, because there's multiple sets of them out there. And in fact, when it does go bad, you can even recycle it, which is not something that we can do with most of our planners, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So that's another interesting aspect. Now, when it comes to work, do you carry this with you to work every day?
Yes, it does go with me to work every day. It is primarily my personal home and side hustle planner. I do have a separate system for work, but since I use vertical week on two pages, I like to outline my work hours on the daily column, and then I will write my work tasks in that section. So,
it's kind of a combination
mm-hmm. for me, but yes, it does go with me to work.
So walk me through this as someone who just can't see past, or I don't know if I want to see past being able to separate my year out. You say you only carry 2 or 3 months worth of inserts in there. How does that translate when you're sitting with your planner at work and then something comes up for 4 months down the line or 5 months down the line? Do you just pop out a post-it note, or what? How do you handle that? How do you handle that?
Behind the
stressing me out.
Behind the latest month, which is September right now, I just have a sheet of paper, and that's where I write. It's my what's coming up in the future. Like, I've got dates for August on here that I probably should transfer to my August month and haven't done that yet. But that's just how I handle it. Plus with a work, my work.
So you've got a to-do list for your months that are coming up, basically.
Kinda, yeah. If that's what helps you think of it like that, that way, Corrine. But also, my job doesn't necessitate me having to look ahead in 6 months, probably like yours does.
Okay.
So, yeah, my job doesn't.
Well, so do you manage your personal life in the same planner that you manage your work life?
This is primarily personal. I do write when I have a instructional session I have to teach, or if I'm covering a different shift for somebody, I will write that in this planner because I gotta know, and I have to prep, and that way the morning of the day that I'm gonna have to do an instructional session, I take a few extra seconds and decide to look a little more professional at work than just jeans and a college t-shirt.
Okay, so that's an interesting point. I've always been an advocate that work and personal should be in the same planner, because it's not that they're not two separate items, but it's that you're the same person doing them. So you can't double do something, right? As much as we would want to, if you've booked a personal appointment at 8 o'clock and you have a work appointment at 8 o'clock, it's not happening. So there's no point in keeping them separate. I would argue that they need to be kept in the same, and that's why I'm a fan of color coding.
Oh, yes.
Do you color code at
all? Oh, yes. And I'm also, as I'm opening my fun pen case to show off all of my pens, Corrine, I do subscribe to your idea of one calendar to rule them all. So, yes.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. I'm glad that you do. Isn't it a great idea?
It is. It's wonderful. I mean, I do have a wall calendar in our kitchen, but my husband knows. Don't bother looking at it. Just ask me. Because everything is in my planner.
Poor guy.
It's primarily in my planner. Right. It may not be on the wall calendar, but it is in my planner. And yes, I do color code. I use... I use about 7 colors, color code, roughly.
Yeah. Mine change. The idea behind one calendar to rule them all, or one color to rule them all, I guess, I don't know, is the idea that whatever color you pick, let's say for work or your personal life, carry that color over to the other calendars that you're using. So I have the same colors in my iCal, for example, for the different calendars that I keep track of that I have in my planner, and the same colors in the folders that I keep in my office to track those very same items.
That's smart.
Because your brain has a tendency to keep those visual. My brain has a tendency, I don't know about anybody else's, but at least mine does, as I don't do numbers, I do colors. And that's, I'm very visual. When I give directions, I don't tell people street names, I tell them landmarks. And
Yes.
so that might be something that people should look into. And I don't know if it's a boy girl thing or males and females. I'm not sure exactly how our brains are wired. I have to do a little bit more research on that. But I know when it comes, and that's probably why I ended up starting with a Mac as my first computer, because they were the original Windows operating system, right? They had the whole you don't have to put in code, you just have to click on it. So I was like, oh, I know how, I remember what that looked like. And similarly, my planner, that's why I use the colors that I do, or use color period, is because my brain has a tendency to remember that there was something in brown happening at 4 o'clock this afternoon or 5 o'clock. And so when that comes up, it's more of a color issue than a reminder issue, if that makes any sense to the plannerverse out there. What is your next steps as far as work goes? Do you feel like this is something that you can incorporate as well into work and get your coworkers on board? Or is this something that they look at you and go, you know what, we're going to let Corey do Corey and everybody else can kind of do their own thing?
Corey gets to do Corey. There are a few people I work with that they do have a paper calendar, but they are not to the level of planner person that I am. And then I've got two other coworkers that are all digital all the time, and one likes to pick at me because I'll sit there and make notes on paper and put sticky notes on his computer to remind him of something, and he's like, just send me an email. No. So we kind of have this, we kind of pick at each other, whereas he will only do stuff digital for me, and I put sticky notes all over his Mac to annoy him.
Well, that's great. I'm a fan of both, as you know. I love combining analog and digital, and I think that there's a time and place for everything, particularly when it comes to tedious, boring things, reminders, and cyclical items that come up every season or every year or whatever it is that they need to come up on. I don't see the value of having to double book that and put that in my planner as an analog item when I can simply have a digital device remind me, hey, it's time to call the HVAC guy to, clean out the HVAC system. Okay, that's an easy fix. But when we're talking about work, and I would think that if I had colleagues that nobody can work with me, which is why I don't have colleagues. Even Steve Morton, I fired him now. He's gone, poor guy. Steve, come back to me. One of the things I realized is that it really doesn't matter, because ultimately analog you can take pictures of and turn into an Evernote and then just have that be digitalized or digified or however we're going to express that term. It's very easy to digitalize analog items, whereas it's a lot, I mean, I guess you could print something out if it was digitized,
It's
right?
not always easy to print
You'd have
something
an
out.
analog version.
It's depending on the system, it's not easy to sometimes print things out.
Correct. And certainly, just because you've printed it out doesn't mean that it's emblazoned upon your brain, because that's what you need. Just because the information's on paper doesn't mean it's been absorbed. And that's the issue that I think analog favorers have with analog, is that we actually can absorb the content as we're writing things down. And that comes down to the RAS. And so, might I say, Corey Large, you have quite a large RAS.
Yes.
I'm I like your RAS. It does good things. That's the reticular activating system. That is the thing that is activated when you have hand-eye coordination and you are physically writing something down on paper. I'm not talking about digital. I'm talking about pen, pencil to paper.
Yeah.
That reaction is a reaction that happens in the brain. And that this is why we remember things better when we write.
Yes.
I was saddened to find out that my alma mater, where I did my graduate work, suddenly didn't have a bookstore anymore. I couldn't believe this. We went over to Monterey and I went looking for the bookstore. I know, Scory's making stabbing motions towards her heart. I think as a librarian, you can appreciate the fact that I just had an absolute surreal moment. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone for a moment. And I went to the administration. I said, has the bookstore moved? And they said, no, it's shut down. And I said, why? Are we not functioning as a school anymore? And they said, no, everybody just downloads their textbooks now.
Well, okay. I kind of understand that. I mean, my library, we are looking into getting some open education resources for students to save the money on textbooks. But does your alma mater still have a library?
I would hope so. I didn't check. Last time I was there, I didn't check. But my goodness, if that's gone too, then I don't know what's left. I would hope so. I couldn't. I mean, I remember seeing the results of students that had studied off of screens versus students that had studied off of textbooks. And they were vastly, vastly different in favor of the students that had studied off of textbooks and were able to have pages that were torn and scribbles and that sort of thing.
Yes.
That's something you can't do. And then, of course, if you want, you could print out your textbook. I'm assuming that's what most people do then, is print them
with
out.
With the open education resources that we are looking into, the online, the information is free online, but if you want, like for a textbook, if you want the electronic version of the textbook, it's free online. If you want it printed, you just have to pay $50 and it's like a print on demand book. So there is the option.
Okay. Certainly cheaper,
yes,
than the price I used to pay for textbooks going in every year. And then, of course, lugging those things around as well. So there may be some sense to this madness at the end of the day. And so, Corey, what tips could you give to our listeners that are thinking of creating their own Frankenflex binder and are afraid to start because they say to themselves, I could never do what she did. That's so violent. What would you say?
Just do it. Let me rip off Nike here. Internet, it's Plannerverse. It's $20. Try it. If you don't like it, recycle it. You're going to be out $20. It's worth it for me. Yes, A5 and class and half sheet inserts do fit. What is nice about like the FileFax inserts, anything with that six ring in the 3-3 format, the first hole
right.
and the fourth hole line up with these rings perfectly, by the way.
That's a great thing. That's a great
thing. You
may
have to repunch them to make them a little bigger though, because I don't know what it is with FileFax, but their holes are like teeny tiny.
They are.
If you get Daytimer or Franklin Covey inserts, like I use, I honestly just scotch taped over the holes and repunched them. No biggie.
You're brutal.
I am. It's, I'm going to make it work for me. And yeah, I can't do the whole, oh, it has to be pretty. I can't, it has to be custom perfect right out of the box. No, to me, that's no fun. Let me play with it. Let me get my hands dirty. Let me go find the blowtorch and some scissors. And
and clearly, I mean, so that's actually a very good tip, because the worst that could happen is that you've blown $20 and you've failed,
yeah,
or you haven't found a system that works for
yeah.
you. And the best thing that could happen is you found exactly what you're looking for, and now you're unafraid to toss that thing around and break it because you can just go replace it so easily. If something goes awry or ring breaks, I don't know, you start batting baseballs with it. You can.
This thing has survived me, and it is, I'm over a year into using it literally every single day, in my bag, out of my bag, thrown on the couch, taken with me to bed, all that stuff, and it has survived. So, and I am not easy
Outstanding.
on my stuff. It has to be a workhorse. It has to. It's one of the reasons why when I did Traveler's Notebooks, I never went to the Sheik-Sparrow Mr. Darcy leather because it was very delicate, scratched easily. I don't want that. I need something that, okay, if I ran it over with my truck, that might be pushing it a little bit, but if I threw it on the couch, it wasn't going to be catastrophic.
Right. And I think that's the main lesson I would like the planner verse to take away from this is don't be afraid to veer away from the norm and the status quo that we've been provided with the six rings and then with the B5 on the file fax. Sometimes you can go into nine rings with the desk fax and get yourself into a different size, but they're pretty much standardized sizes. And if something isn't working, I would highly recommend you give this a try because what's the worst that could happen is you realize that you need more room or you realize that things didn't go exactly the way you wanted them, but now you know what you're doing. And maybe your first one looks a complete atrocity, but the second time around, you've got it figured out and you've got that flash pink leopard skin thing happening for you and you're all excited about it because that's what works for you.
Yeah. Another thing about the flex binders, even though they come in plain covers, you can get the duct tape sheets and they stick to those covers. So there, you can
Perfect.
decorate. If you can get something with duct tape backing on it, it will stick to that cover and you can decorate it.
Great.
The binders only cost $20, so. Or less than $20, actually. I think the 2-inch ones are 15. So yeah, buy several of them. Make different covers for every season.
Perfect. Where can we find you, Corey?
The best place to find me, actually, and you can, is my YouTube channel, which is Tales from a Polk, Polk County Girl, and there are a bunch of videos about my flex binder, how I made it. You guys can get up close and personal and see the insides of my planner and all that fun stuff. I go over how to make them in various sizes as well. So the A5 size is not my only custom size flex binder, but it's my only planner.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And you can find me at the usual spots, hiding out in the corners of Plannerology, where sometimes Corey comes and gives her thoughts on how we should run things, which I appreciate very much. And you can find me on Instagram at Karine Tovmasyan, and you can find me irritating Steve whenever he's around.